Hello, welcome back to the next episode of the Radio Messies podcast. I'm your host Richard, with, as per usual, my co-host Vic. Or Vince Vaughn, apparently.
Yeah, I'm Vince Vaughn now. He's possessed me. Can you imagine getting possessed by Vince Vaughn?
That's the comedy hit of the year, that is. Possessed by Vince Vaughn.
Yeah.
Starring Rob.
Oh no, I was going to say, he's such a joke now that he's actually starring as himself in his own comedies.
My turn to pick the film today. The last in my foreign director's event, if you want to call it that. It is a 1995 horror comedy from Sweden.
It's a good start, to be fair.
It's a sort of a
satire.
It's a sort of satire on film censorship and
Jesus, this is current.
And this film is called Evil Ed.
Oh, I was going to get this a few times, I think. Yeah, this is the guy with he's got a weird face, isn't he, on the cover.
Not in any way, shape or form related to the character Evil Ed from Evil Dead 2, but similar to a few of Vic's recent picks, I have watched it but don't really remember it, so it will almost be like the first time watching both of us.
Hopefully it works out.
Yeah, and just so everybody listening is on the same wavelength, we are going to be watching the special Ed-ition.
Oh, God.
Which is slightly longer than the standard cut. And, yeah, we'll be right back. Right, we're back from Evil Ed.
Evil Ed.
Weird little film.
Strange little movie.
Yeah. Let's just
get into it.
Basically does, so,
Yeah, it doesn't really.
So the film starts with a man covered in film reel screaming.
Captain Underpants. That's what I called him. Captain Underpants.
Do you remember those books?
Yeah, yeah.
This is the grey remake.
He genuinely looks similar to Captain Underpants. Like, I'm not even joking.
Oh.
Yeah, he's going mental with a load of film reels, isn't he?
Yeah.
And whoever's there, they break in. It turns out to be his manager, but...
it's like his boss knocking at the door, and he can't come in, so he goes to the next logical step and gets somebody to...
He's like, break the door down, please.
Not even break down, like, blowtorch it down.
Yeah, of course, he has, like, a welding torch, doesn't he? Yeah, yeah.
It's like, if you're the boss, do you not have keys?
Yeah. Why have you got a welding torch?
Why haven't you?
Oh, yeah, good point. You never know when you're going to need a good welding torch. But they break in... The manager looks pissed off, not like, oh my god, this man's going insane, like as in, like, you're ruining my day, mate.
Yeah, it's you're ruining me. My film. I need this.
And Captain Underpants, like, turns round and goes, oh, I'm just another chunk of meat in Brain Town. And I was like, where's Brain Town? Because I'm not going there. I'm not going to Brain Town. And then...
Hey, it's lovely this time of year.
Yeah, he pulls out a fucking... Like, not only has this office got blowtorches... It's got grenades
Why
as well.
Does everybody in this film have access to military-grade
weapons? I don't know. It's Sweden, isn't it?
I know. If there's ever got any Swedish listeners, is this normal? Do you just pull out grenades and Uzis from wherever?
I mean, I'm pretty sure it's Sweden that you have to be taught with a rifle. Like, it's law. You have to know how to use a rifle. I think that's one of the reasons why their crime rate is so low, because, like, everyone's got a gun. So there's nobody breaking in anywhere, because they're like, well, I know he's got a gun, because it's law. Yeah, I mean, I don't think they're mental about weapons, but I think you have to be trained with a rifle.
Why did they do that in fucking America?
Yeah.
With bum guns?
I don't know if it's something carried over from, like, you know, Predators, I guess. Because, like, obviously, I mean, not nowadays, I guess, but Sweden was obviously quite out there, isn't it? I'm sure there's a fair lot of bears and shit.
I thought you meant, like, sexual
predators. I don't mean
like
sexual predators.
Roaming around, getting the gun.
You probably need to... Chris pedos are out. Get your rifles.
That's a different episode of To Catch a Predator.
Yeah.
Take a seat.
Take a rifle. Take a rifle. Shoot this pedophile.
I mean, I think that's a better version of To Catch a
Predator. That's saying something as well, because Chris Hansen is great. Take a seat right over here. But yeah, this man pulls out a fucking grenade, sticks it in his mouth... Blows his head off, and then the manager's just like, you're fired. I mean,
after he's blew himself up.
I think he's dead. to be honest. And then it cuts straight to this like black and white movie, doesn't it? That you don't you don't really know what's going on.
No, except that I think that's the point. It's like an artsy.
Yeah, well, you pointed out that the woman in the black and white film looks like Vince Vaughn.
It was Vince Vaughn.
Yeah, but it turns out that it's this is one of the movies that the protagonist, I guess, is editing.
Yeah, this seems more his cup of tea, doesn't it? He doesn't seem to have any issues editing this. What is there to edit in a film like this?
Oh, I don't fucking know. All of it.
Watch a boring film and then edit it out.
Yeah.
Well, I'll just say I'm done. Yeah, I've done that one.
Yeah.
You've done that. 75 films to think.
You're fucking great
at this job.
Yeah. But he gets a call from it, or does he go? He goes to see his manager? He goes to see the manager.
Well, no, he goes to see his boss.
Yeah, and he's like, you're getting transferred, mate.
Yeah,
I'm afraid. The horror department. He's like, oh, I don't really want to do this. And he's like, well.
Well, there, last one blew himself up with grenades.
I'm the boss. I'm your boss.
There's somebody at the horror department.
Yeah, it turns out he's the replacement for Captain Underpants. Hopefully doing a better job than a bald man throwing about grenades in his underpants.
You know, it's like, as long as you don't blow yourself up, you're doing a better job.
I mean, that'd be great, wouldn't it? Can you imagine going to a new job and be like, look, I'm going to be honest with you. If you don't blow yourself up, you'll be fine.
I think I can manage not blowing myself up.
He said that.
Why did he say that? Because the guy before him blew himself up.
Why does everybody blow you up? I don't know. It happens a lot. Happens weekly. I'm sick of fucking getting people
sometimes
for this cunning job.
Weekly. No one will insure us anymore.
Look, we're not insuring you because you leave grenades around.
Well, it's Sweden. What kind of rights?
I think we'll find the rights for grenades are fairly
strict.
Yeah, everywhere, not just in Sweden. I mean, I'm pretty sure America has some.
No, I'm not sure.
So, yeah, I'm a Texan. We've all got grenades over here.
I had grenades for breakfast.
But Ed gets a call from his wife, and she's like, "Oh, your birthday party, you know, is happening."
Is it his daughter's birthday party?
Sorry, yes, it's his daughter's birthday party. And he's like, you know, she's like, don't be a fucking cunt. You better show up. And he's like, well, obviously I'm going to show up. There's no reason. It's my daughter. Spoiler alert.
Stop me from doing that.
He doesn't show up.
Yeah, this little plot scene just disappears for quite some time. And then when it comes up, you sort of forgot.
Yeah, well, we cut next to fucking, like, Tim Robbins' tramp. who's he genuinely looks like, I mean, he doesn't look that like him, but he looks similar to Tim Robbins, and except that he's got really long hair and he looks like a tramp.
And cuts people up.
Yeah, he's in like a car park or a car, an underground car park or something.
Something like that, yeah.
And this girl arrives in a car, gets out. I'm assuming she's supposed to be a prostitute or something.
Yeah.
Because he's like, oh, show me the goods. Or something like that. She gets naked. The guy goes, I want your body.
And he starts drooling. Literally drooling.
I thought he was puking, you know, at first. And I was like, oh, he's just drooling. Yeah, because this obviously, this woman's like, she's only got like a trench coat on. It's that typical thing, you know, where she's got, she takes off, she's got lingerie on, yeah. But turns out he doesn't like want to fuck her. He actually wants her body. So he starts chopping her arm off and headbutting it.
Blood everywhere.
Like, I've never seen that before. Just chop her. I mean, he doesn't even chop it off completely. He kind of chops her arm and then he's just like, oh, that's not coming off fast enough. I'll use my forehead. So, I mean, I feel like the butcher's knife is probably going to be a better way, to be honest with you. I don't think your forehead's that sharp. If it is, you've got issues. But again, it turns out it's the next movie that Ed is editing.
Yeah, it's one of the films in the Loose Limbs franchise.
Yeah, of course, yeah. Then we get introduced to, I suppose one of these characters is quite important, but they're essentially like, you know, it's like a test audience. They're essentially a test audience. It's their job to watch these films and I assume decide like what needs editing.
Well, I think Nick's the guy who probably picks what films they're going to release. That's the impression I got.
Right, and then what?
Because there's a bit where the boss comes in and he's like, you know, I've got a new editor. I want you to make sure that he's got loads of work to do. So I think he probably watches a load of films and think, like, yeah, this is worth releasing, this is worth.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And then they get moved on to Ed.
I know, I feel like I've wrote in my notes, Ed is editing a lot.
Yeah.
My like, Jesus. We get a montage of Ed editing several movies. I think this is one of the things that are, that was added into the special edition.
The director's cut.
Yeah.
I think this was just to show how much time is passing and how long he's been doing this.
Yeah, one of the movies he's editing as well, it sounds like you can hear a ghetto Leatherface. It's hilarious.
Where's my trains on?
Yeah, I know. And it's like, how could Leatherface get more redneck?
And why have we not seen this film?
Maybe we will. So yeah, time's passed. We get another little scene where the manager is given... This manager's obviously made out to be an absolute cunt. Because he gives like everybody a hard
Sam
time.
Sam Campbell. Definitely.
Yeah.
One of many references in this film.
Yeah. And Ed arrives to talk to the manager and he basically says that editing these horror films is getting to him.
Yeah, like it gives him the creeps.
Yeah, he doesn't like it. Well, ends up worse than that. But the manager basically doesn't give a fuck. He's like, no, I want results. Go get my fucking movies. Go edit my movies.
I'm not your doctor. I'm not your shrink. Yeah. I'm your boss. What I need are results. Yeah. If you don't give me the results, well...
I'll fire you. Remember the last guy?
Or maybe
exploded.
You'll blow yourself
up, maybe. It's weird. This office must have had a high turnover of grenade deaths.
More than most businesses. Just before that, there was another scene with... I think his name's Nick.
Is this
Nick
the main teenage guy?
Yeah. His girlfriend. Nick's talking to his girlfriend and then the boss comes in and calls him a piece of shit. And he's like, oh, yeah.
He's like, yeah, I know. I'm a piece of shit. And I... Tell me I'm a piece of shit. I was going to say, yeah, maybe his girlfriend sitting there behind
him. Tell me I'm a piece of shit, daddy.
Yeah. Little does he know. But Ed's editing more movies. I thought one of the guys off one of the movies sounded like Bill Moseley on this bit.
You said
it was an amalgamation of Bill Moseley and Brad Dourif. Yeah.
This is why I wish men could conceive children with each other. Imagine that. Beautiful bastard love child.
Jesus, it'd be great, wouldn't it?
But no, genetics dictate it must be men and women.
So the Bill Moseley guy that's in the movie, he kind of like appears to Ed. Ed gets scared of this. He's like, fuck it. I mean, I would, to be fair. I kind of underselled that a little bit. Didn't I? If someone from a movie showed up at my house that was specifically from a horror movie, I'd be like, I'm a little bit...
Are you all right, mate?
A little bit weirded out. I mean, I suppose maybe I wouldn't be now that I've had such contact with hell.
Yeah.
So like every noise now, I'm like, ah, that's probably a demon. And then Charlotte's like, I wish you wouldn't say things like this. And it's I mean, I have been there. And she's like, I haven't.
You're going to get, like, fucking robbed one day and be like, Charles, there's fucking weird noises going around. It's probably just
I've told you it's fucking demons, the guys.
Do the demons usually say, make sure you take the PS4 with the TV?
To be fair.
Sometimes.
Yeah, to be fair, they do. They're dicks. Take my PS4. Dav or Thumb, if you're listening, don't. Please don't take my PS4. I mean, it doesn't play discs as it is. Again. I'd like to just use it. But his manager calls again, and Ed's like, I think I need to go to the hospital. And then the manager's like, I don't really give a fuck.
Well, he does say something. What's the problem?
Yeah, but it kind but of lasts like 2 seconds.
It's like he remembers, like, oh yeah.
I don't like you.
No, I think Ed like sort of remembers, like, oh yeah, this guy's basically said he's going to fire me. And he's like, oh, I'm sure it will pass. And then the boss says, oh yeah, that's good. Oh, I'm going to come give you a visit.
Yeah, I think he's getting concerned, not about Ed, but more about the work that's getting done.
Yeah.
So in the next morning, Ed gets up and he kind of just like goes about his business. He goes into his kitchen or something, I think, and he looks out the window. And it turns out the old woman from... This is weird, man. Like the old woman from across the street, she comes out and they kind of like, they lock eyes, like weirdly, you know, like, oh, we shouldn't be looking at each other. And then she turns around, she's just got a dressing gown, it's like a stereotypical old woman. She's just got a dressing gown on. She turns around, turns back around, and she's this fit blonde woman who starts undressing. So, you know, like, you want to finger me? I could see you looking at me. But obviously it's kind of like a hallucination for Ed, and it kind of like snaps back to an old woman. You're like, ugh!
And he looks at us, ugh.
Yeah, I mean, you would, wouldn't you? But I think this is the first. What? Maybe he is. Yeah. He doesn't really like his wife, does he?
Would you?
I mean, she wears a wig. on which top of a hair that looks exactly like her wig, so I don't understand. But I mean, we'll get to that. Yeah, I think the old woman kind of like takes offense. She's like, what are you looking at? Do you know what I mean? Like, she kind of like runs back in like, fucking weirdo. Yeah. Nick delivers more film reels to be edited for Ed.
Yeah, and he's like, did you bring Loose Limbs 7? And it's like, yeah, it's a great movie. And then Ed's like, great movie?
I know, it's 90 minutes of condensed sex and violence.
You
and
I'm like, no moral compass.
I don't know, it sounds pretty good to me, mate.
I know,
to
right?
be honest, like, sex and violence for 90 minutes. I could deal with that. Turn my brain off.
89 this. Minutes max for me.
Don't go a minute over. So he's watching, you know, later on he's watching these films to edit them, and it's the same guy that was from the film. It's the same guy from the underground car park scene that we're on about, but in this movie he's like pretending to be like a surgeon or something, and this silly bitch is like sitting on the bench. She's like, oh doctor, I can't feel a thing.
Yeah,
because he's like fiddling around with it. I think she's got like an ingrown toenail or something
like that. He's got like this green, like really lumescent green syringe.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of Reanimator. Yeah, and he stabs, obviously it's the number, and he kind of fiddles about the foot, but I think it's just to see if like she can't feel, and she's like, I can't feel a thing, and then he just chops her foot off.
Yeah, and she's like, oh my foot, literally.
It's great because she's like, my foot. And it's like, the dubbing in this movie is fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, I feel like it's intense.
I hope it fucking is, because it's fucking awful. But yeah, this is the Loose Limbs sequel that you're on.
Yeah, this is Loose Limbs 5, Anatomy of Fear.
This is the point where we see that Ed's kind of like suffering quite a lot now from like flashes from the films that he's watching. Like, he keeps seeing like flashes like of the characters and the people from films. And then he's all of a sudden, he's kind of like, is he dreaming at this point? Because he's in a room with like this mutated mental patient.
He's in like a straitjacket and bandages.
Yeah, and his face is all like fucked up. He's got like a big like bottom lip. It's pretty cool, to be honest with you.
I mean, he doesn't look like him, but he reminds me of Pinhead.
He reminds me of somebody as well, and I can't think what the fuck I'm thinking about. Yeah, he does resemble like a Cenobite.
Yeah.
Like he wouldn't look out of place next to the rest of them. Do you know what I mean? If he was in a Hellraiser movie.
Yeah.
But this guy basically tells Ed that the world needs correcting. Like, it's not good enough just correcting his films. Like, he's like, no. He's like, you need to correct the sex and violence like from the real world. It's like, because, you know, people don't need this shit. Fuck you. My demon wouldn't be like that. He'd be like, you need to go and make more sex and violence.
That's not enough.
And he basically says, look, he says, you need to correct these people, because if you can't, you need to kill them. I think he says they need to be corrected or die. And then Ed wakes up from the dream, but, well, from the rest of the film, it seems like this scene quite makes an impression on him. So he hears something downstairs. So he goes to check, and I like this bit because he took the, I don't know why it was nostalgic for me, but he takes like the metal, basically, I mean, in England anyway, when I was young, I remember my mum had a Hoover, and you know how you've got the hose, and that was all metal, and I remember picking it up, and it was fucking like, if you hit someone that, it's going to fucking hurt, and he goes and gets the metal end of the Hoover, and at first I was like, why is he getting a part of the Hoover, and then I was like, oh, it's still metal. And I remember, like, genuinely pretending, like, the end of my Hoover was a sword or something when I was a kid.
Yeah, I think we all done that.
Yeah, but it was pretty fucking heavy. Like, if you caught yourself with that, you're going to hear me fucking hurt. I think there's something, he can hear sounds coming from the fridge.
Well, he's upstairs at first, isn't he?
Yeah, because he hears it, the stuff, and it's like something giggling in the...
It's in the fridge.
Yeah, he comes downstairs. I think the fridge is like rocking or something as well. Yeah. He can hear noises. So he opens up the fridge, and what's in there? It's a Gremlins ripoff.
It is
quite good, to be fair.
Yeah, it's a cameo from Vic's mum.
yeah. Mum, why didn't you tell me you were in this movie? I feel like this could have been some brownie points. Do you know what I mean? Like, mum was in this movie. Who was she? A horrific gremlin!
She was the fridge monster.
That sounds worse. But yeah, it starts like throwing. It's this. I think he opens the fridge door and it's like bright light. I'm like, oh.
Well, he says like fuck you first or something when he opens.
Yeah, he's like fuck you, bright light, and then starts flinging like tomatoes at him and stuff. And I was like, why isn't this thing in the rest of the movie?
I know. I want to see more of it.
It looks
good as well.
Yeah, but it looks like some sort of like fucking mongoloid Pokemon. You know what I mean? It looks, I mean, yeah. It looks fucking weird, but I don't know. But I mean, maybe it's just me, but it looks kind of cute. I think I've just got a soft spot for Gremlins like ripoffs. Well, like a mongoloid Pokemon.
Yeah, and it's kind of cute.
Can you imagine that? Like, what power would it use? Dribble. So he tries to stab it, and this is like the first inclination to us that, like, it's not really there.
Yeah.
Like, it's all, this is all in fucking Ed's head. Like, he tries to stab it, and there's literally, it's just a normal fridge. So Ed thinks that the next best thing to do is to nail his door closed. He just gets, like, really shit wood. And just puts, like, haphazardly over his door. And then, like, he gets, like, three bits of the wooden, and then his manager shows him. He has to take it off again.
But poor he doesn't Ed. He only takes, like, enough pals for him to come, like...
Yeah, like, he has to climb
and
through.
And even the boss is like, it's always a warm welcome with you.
Yeah, no, it's, like, it's fucking weird. Like, but, yeah, the managers arrive to check on his...
Progress.
Not him. Check on his progress, yeah. Ed says to his manager, he's like, oh, one of my neighbours, or you know, my weird neighbours have tried to break into my house, so I'm doing
he's
this.
Covering up
and his manager's board. Like, oh, you don't need to explain to me, I love a man that takes action. It's like, you're a fucking weirdo, mate, you are. You're annoying me. And so the manager wants to check his work. He goes
and... Yeah, he goes over to his little weird TV that you were...
I love that fucking TV. I want that TV. I think if I took that TV, I'd be like, Charlotte, we're not watching it on this TV anymore. We're
chuck away the Blu-rays.
Yeah.
He's like, where's my rape scene?
My beaver rape scene? Where's my beaver rape scene? Like, it's like, I mean, that's a weird thing to ask for, mate.
And, you know, Ed's like, well, obviously I've got to cut that out. It's vile.
Yeah, the manager's like, there was no weird positions. There was no, like, cocks and vagina or anything like that. Like, I want it in there. Like, this will make us big bucks. Ed begins to imagine his manager starts to, like, take on, like, demonic kind of personality.
Yeah,
his eyes start glowing and everything, and then he full on turns into, if you've seen the I'm sure it's Ridley Scott, the fantasy movie with Tom Cruise, and it's got Tim Curry in it, and he plays like a demon. This is the spit of that fucking demon. It's pretty good, to be fair. But the effects are actually all right in this movie,
yeah,
too.
Pretty decent. I mean, I think the only ones that look dodgy are some of the, like, in-film clips, but I think they were supposed to.
Yeah.
Like, when she gets her foot lobbed off,
it looks a bit
pretty
weird.
Dodgy, but I think that was intentional.
It still looks funny, though. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's not something I take points off. That's funny. So his manager kind of, like, it's kind of like he's taunting him, but obviously Ed's scared shitless because his manager looks like Tim Curry in demon makeup.
I'd be quite terrified if my... And it just looked like Tim Curry.
To be honest with you, I adore Tim Curry.
Oh, so do I, but...
So I don't think I'd be like, you're making me laugh, Tim Curry. You're making me laugh. Have you ever seen that clip where he was in one of them strategy games? Is it like Red Alert or something?
Yes, Red Alert 3.
Yeah, and he's like, I'm going to the one place where you can't find me. Space! It's great, and it's great because, like, in the actual
it's
game,
all like live action clips, isn't
yeah, it? But like he's genuinely things. Cracking up, and I'm like, if that was the best take, like poor Tim Curry must have been pissing, because he's like, I'm going to the one place where you can't, where you'll never get me with your capitalism, and then he like nearly laughs, and then he's just like, space. I love Tim Curry. Oh, Tim Curry is a national fucking treasure.
Have you ever heard of him? I don't like Tim Curry.
I hope not, because I'll kill him. Have a lovely day. Oh, man, in Home Alone 2. I've got you a limousine and a pizza. So, Ed runs into this fucking cave that's underneath his house.
I mean, yeah.
Is this not really there?
No, I don't think so.
So I assume he's just like...
Maybe instead of basements, they have underground caves.
I'd prefer that, to be honest with you. It'd be fucking great if you have like...
Grenade Uzis and basement
a cave
caves.
System. Yeah. You've got your own personal cave system. Well, here it is. You've got your own personal cave system. I'd be like, yep, I'll take it. They've also got a fucking bin that looks like a shed. It looks like a mini shed.
Didn't you?
Yeah, I was like, why is the bin that? I mean, fair play to them, but I mean, why is the bin so done up? Ours are made of plastic.
Yeah, but I think that's good. But it's got the plastic bin inside it. But I think that's quite a good idea. Like, you know, like bins aren't the nicest looking things.
No, I feel like wood. It's got like wood on it as well, so I'd keep the smell out a lot more
exactly,
as well.
Yeah, these Swedes are onto something.
Oh no, like I don't disagree with it. I'd love my bin to look like a shed. I was like, but it's just weird. It's like, oh, that's your bin. It looks like an elf's bin. It's the kind of bin like I'd imagine an elf would have. So he runs into the cave, and the fucking mutated mental patient is like talking in his head, and he's like, "Oh, you have to fight back. You have to, you know, stop the demons or some shit."
Yeah.
So, you know, it kind of like taunts him, and then Ed like just straight up breaks the fucking demon's neck.
Well, yeah, it's like, "Don't you fucking look at me!" And then snaps the demon's neck, and then that's when, and then it turns back in.
Well, it's like as soon as it snaps, it turns into the manager, and you're like, "Oh, he's killed his manager." And then Ed does the next best thing and chops up the body.
Yeah.
And puts it in his own fucking bin.
Yeah.
I don't like this bit. It annoys me.
The song's great, though. I'm sure everybody knows the song. It's like, "The right bone connected to the..."
Yeah.
And it's like, "Disconnect them bones."
Yeah.
It's like, this is great.
Just annoys me. He puts the remains in his own bin. It's like, it's literally, don't shit in your own, you know, don't shit where you live. Fucking hell.
Don't shit where you sleep. Isn't that the same?
I think it's both. Yeah. I've heard, "Don't shit when you live, don't shit where you sleep, don't shit where you make your home.
Don't shit where you shit.
Just don't shit. Besides the toilet, I guess. Like, or if you're stuck in the woods.
Partner, if they're into that.
Put some, what's that thing called when you cover your bed in shit and then fuck on it? Remember we looked at all these and we were like, weird.
Steamroll.
Yeah. We're weird looking up. What was the ice picking?
Igloo.
That's it. Where you freeze your shit and then stick it back up.
And then fuck them.
Wait till it melts.
But yeah, steamroll, and that's covering like your bed in shit and then...
Bearing in mind, you've got a stock up on shit.
I don't know, who has this much shit?
So it's like a freezer for shit. Do you reckon they've got their own tabletop freezer just for shit?
Knocking on your neighbour's, can we borrow a cup of shit? Do you mean sugar?
No. I mean shit. We haven't got any.
You're steamrolling again, Margaret. Yeah. You're fucking weird, you are.
You haven't even got a boyfriend. I mean, stop doing it. You're just sitting on a bed full of shit, fingering yourself. I've had enough. Is that woman across the street?
No.
Is the woman across the street?
No.
Oh. Stop looking at me steamrolling. It's none of your business.
You watch your back.
Oh, no. So Nick arrives with more movies. It's funny because he nearly spots the remains in the bin as well. He throws something in the bin.
Like
it's just sort of fingers.
Like fingers poking through. But he's just oblivious to the whole thing.
When he gets to the door as well, Ed does a Obi-Wan Kenobi, because he's like, "Oh, hey, Ed." Hello, he's like, there. "Hello there." I'm like, "Where's General Grievous?" "Hello there.
To make a fine addition to my collection."
Oh, man. Rian Johnson, you made them fun. I need to rewatch the prequels. I think I'll have a load of fun now. But like, it's not The Last Jedi. So yeah, Ed's acting fucking weird. Like he's off.
He's like, "New film? Now he's..."
Nick's looking at him like, "You're a fucking nutcase." But I mean, to be fair, you were when I first met you. So
because I think Nick's still like fucking... I think he's trying to be more like how Ed was the first time. Because he was like, "Are these fun films?" He was like, no, they're not. And he's like, "I want fun films. I want to see sex and violence."
Yeah, and then Nick's and even like,
"Oh, do you like them now?"
Yeah, I thought you were against them, mate. Yeah. To be honest with you.
Fight some in for coffee. I'd be like, "I'm all right. You're..."
Well, he pours a fucking coffee, right? And then Ed, like, licks it. And he's like, "It's hot." You're like,
"Gets the point.
I'm going to go. They say something. They both start laughing at each other. And then it's one of the moments where they're both laughing. And then Ed goes serious, like, in a second. He's like, "Be silent." You're like, "I'm really going
to
leave."
Well, I think this is where Nick actually tries to... Even he's like, "Yeah, I'm out of here now." And then... Ed just punches the fuck out of him.
He smashes a bottle over his head.
Yeah.
And he's like, "Oh my god, I'm a little bit woozy now." Yeah. And then Ed just beats him. And he just keeps eating. He's like, "Be silent!" We get that Evil Dead style shot now as well, don't we?
Yeah. You know,
it's like going up the stairs, but it's like the viewpoint of the deadite.
It's like they're not even subtle with like their Evil Dead references or any of the other references they do.
But... I'm glad they're not, because it's too stylistic to not notice it.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
Like, anybody who's seen Evil Dead know, like, that's Evil Dead, that is.
But Ed's kind of like maniacally editing now. He's literally just chopping bits up
But he looks a bit like Captain Underpants from the start at this point.
He's like, yeah, because he's like, and just chopping it into bits. He's just like, I don't think he's even really looking. But Nick's still alive downstairs. He kind of like gets up and tries to make his way out the fucking house, I think. And then two metalheads show up. to rob the house with weapons. And I'm like, where is this movie going? Is this Lords of Chaos?
Is that you, Vark?
Probably would be, wouldn't it? You cunt. This is where he's the only person. That's the Swedish listener. It's fucking Varg.
I mean, he lives in France now.
Yeah. Oh, good. Don't want him listening. Nick escapes, like, while these metalheads basically have decided to do a home invasion. And poor old Ed.
I don't know why they've singled out this house.
I don't know either. It's just a movie. But I think one of them goes inside and one of them stays outside to guard. He ends up bumping into
Evil Dead reference here, isn't there? When they're getting their weapons out of the car.
Because it's groovy. Yeah. I think it was one of the moments where I was like, well, I don't know if that works.
Well, even did like the Evil Dead style, like really quick zoom into it.
When they're getting their weapons, yeah. I don't know, it just didn't go over right with me.
It was just a little bit trying too hard.
A little bit on the nose there, yeah. But yeah, the metalhead that goes into the house, he ends up bumping into Ed, and obviously he's fucking like, back off, mate. Like, leave me alone, I'm going to rob your fucking house, you cunt. And he ends up shooting Ed in the face.
Yeah, like grazes his cheek.
He takes like a good bit of his fucking cheek. I think that's bleeding for ages. It's still bleeding when he goes to the fucking asylum, isn't it? And him and Ed fight.
Well, even he's like, whoa, you know, I'll just leave and we'll just pretend.
I've shot your cheek off. Yeah. I'm gonna go. I feel like the Swedish law is pretty uptight on shooting people's cheeks off.
No, that's only the left cheek. Right.
You're all good.
Yeah.
We also get like cutbacks at this point to Ed's family who are getting ready for the birthday party, which has come back weirdly enough, and it's like, it's them.
We'd forgotten. We were like, is that the family?
Yeah, I was like well, I didn't even know. I was like,
well, it wasn't until the wife's like, I'm gonna ring your dad, and we're like, oh,
yeah,
because there was like a quick scene like a few minutes earlier of just like a little girl blowing up a balloon, and we're like, what?
I think I had to ask you, didn't I? I was like, who are these? Oh, is it his family? I was like, fair enough. So the wife rings Ed, like, while he's, like, mid-battering the metalhead.
Yeah.
And he answers the phone. He's like, it's for you! And then bats the metalhead with the phone. And the wife's kind of like,
it is
funny. But the wife, this is where the wife gets worried, doesn't she? Because obviously he hits the metalhead with the phone, which cuts it off. So she's like, oh, maybe there's something wrong with him. And the other metalhead that's waiting outside, he obviously goes, fucking hell, this guy's taking a while. I'm going to go in and check on him. And he ends up finding his friend's head. And Ed's like maniacally bandaging his head up. He's like, I'm fucking bleeding here. He does look mental though with that weird bandage around his head.
Yeah.
It's quite cool actually. I quite like that. Ed kills the other metalhead and he lobs his fucking head out the window. He's just like, here you go.
It hits the car on the way out.
I think it is that Nick getting away.
Yes, yeah.
This is Nick getting away, during all this commotion,
Nick manages to...
I mean, you fucking would, wouldn't you? It's funny though, because the head like bounces off the car and like lands onto the old woman across the street's house, like a roof.
Yeah.
And she obviously wakes up like, what the fuck is this? I hope it's not them decapitated heads again getting lobbed about. I've had enough. But she finds the head in like...
It's not what I need after a good steamroll.
Oh no. God, my fanny's raw.
Stop.
And it's got shit all over it.
Right, that's it. The episode's over.
Yeah, I can't do shit.
Can't be trusted.
To be honest with you.
Should probably see a doctor about that.
Yeah. Fuck, I'm bloated.
Haven't took a dump in 7 years.
It's like that bit from South Park, isn't it? When he's like, he does that massive shit and spins around. That's the one where Bono is an actual shit, which he is.
What?
Oh god, I fucking hate you two. That's why
he's obsessed with being number one. Yeah. I'm not number two.
I'm number one. I'm gonna give it to the children.
You, Bono, if you're listening, you definitely.
No, seriously, fuck you, Bono. I can't. And the Edge. You're an old man. Adopt your name back. Take the fucking hat off. I've had enough. Fucking hell. Oh, man.
Imagine sailing inside that hat is the portal to another world.
Oh, fucking hell. Well, let me go in it and get away from fucking you two.
You come in through that hat, you come out of slashes.
Oh, it'd be better than fucking having you two in the world, wouldn't it? So the old woman finds the head. I think she calls the coppers, doesn't she?
Yeah, she does, yeah.
And then Ed's wife arrives, and she finds Ed, who's all bandaged up. She's like, oh, what's happened? And he's just like, well, I ran out of Band-Aids! And you're like, you are mental. This is where we find out that the stuff he's been editing is he's literally editing out everything else that's not...
He's doing the opposite of what he's supposed to be. Yeah. He's leaving the sex and violence.
Yeah. And I think I said to you, I was like, I wouldn't mind. But it's a good film.
Depends on the film. Yeah. If it's a Serbian film, but I don't think I want to watch this.
I mean, if anything, it's to do with the Serbian film. I think if a film referenced the Serbian film, I don't want to watch this anymore. And the wife starts like, oh, I'm fucking ashamed of you, mate. My own husband getting off on sex and violence. So, Jesus, you can tell it's fucking Sweden, can't you?
Because there was a bit earlier when she rang him at first and she was like, oh, what sort of films you read in? And he's like, I don't even want to tell you the sort of shit that's in it. So they're obviously both very...
conservative.
Yeah.
Yeah. He starts taunting her now, doesn't he? And he's like, oh, I want you to dance. And he starts
we used to be lovers.
Yeah, because he starts saying like, fucking her ass and everything. And his wife's like, I mean, this is fucking weird, mate. Yeah. Like, you've never done me in the ass. Can we steamroll?
He says, stick your cock up her ass, you useless cock sucking motherfucker.
Yeah. And it's like, is this The Exorcist? Like, it sounds like something that would come like, is it Regan?
Yeah.
Regan from Exodus will say, do you know what she did?
Your
canting daughter. Oh, man. And he this is where he pulls off her wig. I'm like, you've got the same hair.
Blonde hair underneath a blonde wig. There's nothing wrong with her hair. It's like,
no.
And it's not even like it's, I mean, I can almost get it if it was like a nice wig.
Yeah, but it's just nice the same as her hair. Well, it's like, you know, like when black women do it. I get it, because they've got, like, I think the reason they do it is because they've got, like, really tough hair. Like, I think they wear wigs because it's, like, it's just too much hassle. They've got, like, kind of different, they've got, like, quite thick hair, haven't they? So they obviously wear wigs. So it's like, I get it, but why is she wearing a wig? Yeah. It's like, you've got the same hair. I don't even know if it's all right, because it's like, I can't really see it, but...
It looked fine.
Yeah! It's like, if you've got a reason to wear a wig, fair fucking play to you. Like, but why are you wearing a wig when you've got the same length of hair that you've just put the wig over? At least
have a different colour.
Yeah. But he starts going like, I'm going to show you pain.
Yeah.
Which, is that a reference to Hellraiser?
I think it sounds very Hellraiser-y, doesn't it?
Yeah, because he also does a reference to Silence of the Lambs as well. Because he's like, fuck me hard. And I'm like, that's from...
There was another... Hannibal reference earlier, because they're literally like, what are you, Hannibal the cannibal?
Yeah, of course. So they must like Silence of the Lambs. He shows her the severed head of the second metalhead. No, the first one. And she's obviously like, you're fucking weird, mate. And pulls out, I think she grabs a taser?
Yeah.
Because he's like, oh, this is what you've been doing when I'm not in. Playing with this toy. And you're like, I don't think she's fingering herself with a taser, mate.
It's really gross. It's like, oh, this is what you do when I'm not there to give you a treat.
It's like, is that how you start sex? Like, I'm gonna give you a treat.
Yeah, it's like you implying that she uses this taser on a clit or something.
This is like mine and Charlotte's sex life. I'm gonna give you a treat.
Taser your clit. Mate, no kink shaming, mate. Whatever you're into.
There's nothing gets us off anymore. We've got to do some drastic things now.
I'm feeling frisky. Getting the taser out.
Oh my god. I need my tools! My tools! His daughter shows up at this point as well, because I think he starts taunting his daughter. He's like, oh, the daughter's here as well! And it's like, it's your daughter, mate. And that's when the wife, like...
Well, she gets really...
She takes action, doesn't she? I mean, fair play to you. You'd be like, I'm not... I mean, kill me. Don't kill my fucking daughter. Like, I'm going to kill you, mate. And she tases... He's got, like, a pair of scissors in his hand to, like, stab him. She tases him, and he drops them right in his foot.
Yeah.
And he's like, "Arr!" You're like Tim Curry again, mate. She ends up knocking him out onto the balcony as well. And if I'm wrong, I think the introduction we watched this movie, this is the second scene they added in.
Oh, right, yeah.
I think he said something about, the balcony scene.
The way it was shot was very reminiscent of Halloween. So I think that's another...
There's a goof in it as well, because the scissors are not in his foot when he falls out.
Probably makes sense, though, because they mentioned that all the extra footage they had to actually go and film.
Yeah. You
know, so they probably just forgot to...
Put the scissors in, yeah. But he pulls out the scissors now and licks them. And his wife's obviously having none of it, because she knocks him off the balcony. She's like, fuck this, I'm not having you licking scissors, mate. Fuck off.
Yeah, not after
you're not threatening my daughter, but I mean, licking scissors? I'm not having this. fucking hell, next I know, you'll be in Captain Underpants 2. It's great, because when she knocks him off the balcony, she's like, you pathetic freak. And I'm like, Jesus, this relationship went downhill, like, in the space of about half an hour.
Yeah, all a minute ago, I was like, oh, you know, I'm worried about you, let me take you to a hospital.
Pathetic freak.
Fucking pathetic freak. But if they're into tasing each other, it's probably just part of their fucking kink.
Would you give me a degrade treat?
Each other.
Oh, you fucking call me bitch.
Pathetic freak again. Yeah.
Ed wakes up outside and the wife tries to get the daughter out at this point, but Ed, obviously, like, they go downstairs and she's like, we need to get out of here. Opens the front door and Ed's like, there. He's like, I'm coming for you, Barbara.
Yeah, and one of their not so subtle references.
Yeah, no, he literally says, I'm coming for you, Barbara. Yeah, I'm coming to get you. And he also says, Daddy's going to cut. And yeah. I'm like, this is weird. So he stalks them around the house and he eventually finds out, I'm assuming this is a Halloween reference as well.
Yeah, she's hiding
in the closet.
Yeah.
He opens the closet up, goes to kill her. And I think we forgot to mention, the second metalhead I think it might be the first guy. He dropped in the scuffle with Ed, he dropped a revolver on the floor. And obviously the wife's found it on her way to hide in the closet. And he goes to kill his wife, and she shoots the fuck out of him.
He gets taken away in a straitjacket.
Yeah, he doesn't die. I'm like, jeez, how much damage can this man take? I know. It's like he's had like fucking shotgun shell in his face, scissors in his feet, and then now he's been point blank shot with what looks like a magnum. Yeah, maybe it's a reference. Maybe it's like just doesn't die. Yeah, he gets taken away by the men in the white van, doesn't he?
Yeah.
So he's taken to a mental asylum, and the nurse in there, she's like, oh, he's too fucking mental, like, take him away, we're going to put him under before we can clean him up. Because obviously his cheek's still bleeding at this point. It's like, it's a fairly fucking bad wound, I guess. Well, I know, like, head wounds are... Does it extend to your face? It's quite near, I suppose. I mean, I know, like, wounds on your forehead, like, bleed a lot, even if they're not drastic. But, I mean, he's been bleeding, like, the whole film.
Yeah.
Like, when he's on the stretcher, like, his face is nearly sticking to the fucking, the sheet. But the nurse, the crew of nurses, they...
Yeah, I think one of the nurses is played by one of the directors.
Ah, yeah, the long-haired guy.
Yeah.
They start to clean him up, and Ed's doing, you know, what he's best at. Yeah. Staring at the nurse's tits.
No, that's the doctor, isn't it?
The doctor's tits, yeah. Sorry, yeah. Because she puts him under, and she's like, oh, he's fine now, take him out of the jacket. We need to clean him up. And while they're cleaning him up, he looks at this nurse's tits and he's like, ooh. And then she kind of like turns into a demon.
Yeah.
It resembles something from Evil Dead, mate.
Yeah, she looks right.
Like Henrietta or something. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? So because she turned, I mean, I can't give Ed any, take any points away from Ed at this point, because I mean, if someone turned to a demon, I'd probably try and strangle them as well. But
he probably like throttles them.
Yeah, like he it's great because he's got like one the doctor in one hand like by a neck, and then he's fighting off the other two nurses like with his other hand, and he ends up he kind of looks like beats everyone to death, doesn't he?
Yeah,
he
well, strangles the doctor. Dead on the floor, so.
Yeah, he strangles the doctor, and he picks up like is it the top of like the toilet or something. And he hits him with it.
Yeah,
some sort of like
a sink. I think it might be like the sink that they wash their hands in.
Yeah, he grabs it out and kills the male nurse with that. And then they're all just dead on the floor. And like, this guy is fucking... Where did he get this power from? So he puts on a doctor's jacket because he starts like kind of like adopting the fact that he's got to go out and deal with these patients. And he goes into this room where all the rest of the mental patients are staying. There's this one guy. And he's like, oh, they wouldn't believe me. I told them someone was following me. At this point, Ed's pulling a fucking wire, like, out of the...
off the wall.
Yeah. And he's like, well, he's like...
because you're paranoid doesn't mean that I'm not coming after you.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And he electrocutes him with a fucking wire. It's a pretty cool kill, to be honest with you. Because
yeah.
I was wondering what... I thought he was going to, like, you know, strangle him with the wire or something, but...
This is where we get the security guard that cares way too much about his job.
Yeah.
Because he's like, obviously, I think he's strolling out of like the psychiatric
ward. Well, this is when the girlfriend arrives, Nick's girlfriend arrives as well, isn't it?
Yeah,
she comes
Nick's
to check
the
on
same
Nick.
Hospital, yeah.
Yeah, this security guard's hilarious, isn't it?
It's just the opposite of you. He's like, hey, you can't go there.
I'm like, just go.
Yeah,
can't be bothered.
Don't get paid.
Yeah, I know. The girlfriend goes and she finds Nick in his room, and, you know, they have like kind of like a reunion, you know. She's like, oh, you look like shit. And then they just instantly start, like, getting it on.
I'd be like, I've been for an all. I'm, you know, I'm pretty battered. I'm, you know, not in the mood.
Yeah, I don't think I'd be.
Yeah.
I don't think I'd be. I mean, there's, I don't think there's many times where I wouldn't be up for it, but that's probably one of them.
Well,
I'm fucking sore,
like,
mate.
You know? You can't be on top because I'm too fucking battered.
Yeah.
And I can't fucking be on top of you.
Off, but just suck me off.
Yeah, I could maybe go for that.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll do a 69. Is that a deal? That deal. Maybe we'll get away with it in the hospital. Maybe they don't frown upon 69s.
And then Edge just like peeping through the fucking window.
Well, he's watching them like kiss and he's like, I'm not having any of this. I'm fucking sick of this. He comes in, he batters Nick again.
Poor Nick.
And he takes his girlfriend away. I was like, yeah, no, genuinely, poor Nick. Like, he's just been battered. He's about to get some sexy time, which he may or may not want. But, you know, sexy time. And then the same guy that's beat him comes in, beats him again, and takes his girlfriend.
Add insult to injury.
Is this how Mario feels when he got to the wrong castle? It's like, oh, she's in a different castle, mate. For fuck's sake. I've just fought a fucking giant turtle spike dragon
right
thing.
Over his head, I did.
Can you help me? Nah, she's in a different castle, mate. You're going to have to go through some more things now, I'm afraid. Don't worry, it's not as bad as the film they'll make about you one day. And then the military shows up.
Yeah, this seems like a bit... Again, is this normal in Sweden?
I don't fucking think so. I hope not. Imagine you, like, rob a bin, said the military after him.
Oh, dear God. Yeah, but there's, like, five fucking armed military dudes fucking...
To be fair, the general's pretty fucking badass.
He's hilariously. Nice.
Yeah, but nice. It's got a really good payoff.
Yeah.
Because he keeps going, like, he's like, oh, nice tar. And then he sees a... I know! I was like, he's like, nice
door. And it wasn't a nice door.
No, it was just a normal door. Not really. It's a fucking horrible hospital. I mean, to be honest, it didn't look great, did it? It looks like a run-down hospital. I was like, this looks fucking awful. So Nick, he goes looking for his girlfriend, and the military squad, they go searching for Ed. And while this is happening, Ed, like, gasses the girlfriend.
Yeah.
Not gassing as in killed, but he puts, like, you know, sleeping gas on her. And he's getting ready to operate on her. Nick arrives at this point, and he attacks,
yeah, like,
he attacks Ed.
On her, doesn't he?
Yeah, and then him and Ed get into another scuffle, and Ed wins again by throwing him over a fucking balcony. He falls through, I mean, poor Nick.
I know,
he falls over a balcony, through a window, and then lands on the glass. He spits a bit out, doesn't he?
Yeah.
I'm like, you poor fucker. You were about to get a sexy time 10 minutes
like,
ago.
You know what? I mean, I love her, but she ain't worth this. I don't need more fish in the sea.
Charlotte, if you're listening, I wouldn't do half as much for this.
This is what Meatloaf was singing about.
I won't do that. What are you on about? I'm on about if a,
have you seen Evil
if a psychopathic guy that edits films comes after you. I'm not doing anything about it. Enough of this.
I'll fight a bit, but...
That's the only thing this film needs, Meatloaf in it.
His name was Robert
Paul. Oh, yeah, just have him have the tits from Fight Club. Oh. Like, why are you in this? So the military, they bump into Ed and they begin to attack him. And Ed starts just fucking picking them off. Like some sort of fucking, like, special forces person or something.
Yeah, he takes out, like, all, like, the... lower ranked
one. Yeah, like he like pulls one into a fucking room like he's a demon or something. It's just like grabbed it. It's funny because the doesn't the general see them getting pulled and he's just like, damn.
Then Nick's like trying to like come up and fucking help out, and the security guard's there again, and he's doing like pathetic. He's got
fucking
like,
no one's lured up there.
He's got like a little bit of tape.
Yeah. Well, Nick ends up like wrapping the security guard in his own tape and then running away. And as he's running away, the security guard is still shouting, nobody's fucking allowed up there. Like, he keeps adding fucking to everything he's saying. He's like, you can't fucking go up there. Nobody's allowed fucking up there. At this point, Ed he's taken out all the lower ranked, you know, military guys. And the general's obviously like, it's great because the general's got these like arm long cigars and they get into like...
It's like a Western...
Yeah, like Ed picks up one of the Uzis that the military have, and this fucking general's got this badass fucking pump action shotgun. And they have this, you know, kind of like the good and the bad and the ugly style. Like, you know, kind of like they're getting ready for twiddling the fingers.
Yeah.
And the general pulls out like a new cigar as well, and he's like... It's fucking great. The general's the best character in this movie. So they have their showdown, and fucking, like, it's... This is probably my favourite bit of the movie. Probably because I'm quite fond of westerns. Don't know if you know. But it does, like... They both take a shot, and it kind of goes from, like, the POV of each one's bullet. So, like, you see Ed's bullet going, and then you see the general's bullet going. General's bullet kind of, like... skims Ed's arm, but Ed's bullets, like, rip the fucking general up, and then he has the punchline.
Yeah, he falls to the floor and goes, "Nice shot."
Yeah, that was a good joke. So Nick comes up, and Ed's gone back into, you know, he's done with the military now. He's like, "I'm gonna go and finish operating on this young woman in here." And Ed shows up. He picks up the general's pump action shotgun. Ed, in the room, Ed gets, I think it's the, you know, the pipe for the drip, and he stabs the girlfriend. You're like, oh, fuck, like, yeah. Nick's hasn't succeeded, late, yeah. And then the girlfriend, like, turns demonic, you know, like,
yeah, but she's got the voice of the demon that's been, like, telling him to...
Yeah, and it's he's like, you fucking failed. Yeah. It's like, what, you know, you've got to pay for your crimes now. And Nick shows up, and we see that the girlfriend is actually fine. Like, she hasn't been stabbed at all.
No.
Nick comes in and then shoots the... It's pretty fucking cool. It's like the beginning of RoboCop.
I was just about to say that. Yeah, like... And then he obviously comes up with a line. He goes, "Rest in pieces."
Yeah. Because he shoots his hand, and Ed grabs his hand.
He's like,
and then he shoots his arm, and then Ed's just, like, holding his severed arm, and he's like, oh, no. And then he shoots him in the balls, I think. And then he shoots the top of his head off. And then, obviously, yeah.
Rest in pieces, motherfucker.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, this bit fucking... This bit really...
And then, like, all of a sudden, like, Nick starts to, like, narrate the end of the film. And he's like, and my girlfriend was fine, and then everything was nice, and it was all...
One day, the world can be good and lovely and proper. And then he's like, it will. I'm assuming this is just setting up that Nick's going to take over from Ed.
I think this is just the satire of the film. Because obviously Ned's the stereotypical, like, oh, if you watch all these horrible movies, you'll turn into a psychopath.
Yeah,
killer.
I suppose.
And
like,
then the narration's like, oh, we just need nice things in the world. We should only watch nice movies.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. Yeah.
Sex and violence.
I didn't really think of it like that.
I think that's what the...
Yeah, that would make more sense.
Yeah.
Because they're taking the piss out of censorship, I guess, isn't it? Who knew this film would be so relevant nowadays?
And that's Evil Ed. Odd little film.
Strange one.
Do you want to go ahead and do your ratings?
Fun factor, I'll probably give it...
Oh, going straight for the fun factor.
Oh, sorry. Oh, well, I'm going to go with it now. Fun factor, I'm going to say probably... It's going to be quite similar to the film, I think. Probably about 3.5.
Yeah.
It was... I think it was decent. It wasn't, like, fucking mind-blowing, like I said. But it's one of them... It's one of them horror films where you kind of just, like... this is the kind of film you could just put on.
Yeah. That's how I watched it the first time.
Yeah, it's kind of like background noise. Yeah. Don't get me wrong, it's quite cool. It's just not that...
It's got some cool ideas.
Yeah, it's just kind of like... It's kind of like an amalgamation of ideas, which is... It's fine.
Yeah.
It's just like... But the scenes are very... the pacing's quite weird.
The film feels really drawn out. I think it could have been about 20 minutes shorter.
Yeah, it doesn't seem... Yeah, like, he kills... I genuinely thought it was finished when the police came to get him.
Yeah.
And I don't... Even though the asylum scenes were fucking cool, I don't know if he needed it.
Yeah. It could have ended after the confrontation with his wife.
I don't think we find out anything more of Ed after he gets caught by the police that we needed
to. Well, like, the whole asylum and hospital scenes, it's just, like, it's stuff you've forgotten about. Like, oh, yeah, Nick had a girlfriend.
Yeah, and it's, like, she's literally in two scenes.
Yeah.
Maybe three.
Yeah. You could just edit the film as Nick died, and then you could literally end it when he's getting dragged away.
Yeah, like, away. Like, it would make the same impact.
Yeah.
But it's the kind of film where I know they weren't going for an impact. They were just going for... It's a fun horror movie. Like I said, 3.5, I'm not dissing it. It's genuinely good. It's just not great. It's nothing you'd go, fucking hell, that's... It's like it's the director's love letter to horror, which is fine.
Definitely all the references in it.
Yeah. But it's genuinely a good movie. As a film, I'm going to give it, again, a 3.5. I think... It does what it says on the tin. it just doesn't do anything more.
It's not mind-blowing, but it's not really meant to be, is it?
It's kind of like, it's a bit better than, it's a fairly bit better than Doom Asylum, but I'd put them in the same kind of, for me anyway, it'd be the same kind of category. I think Doom Asylum's probably got a bit more on its side because of its humour, but they're very, not similar in plot points, but I'm saying that, well, I suppose they are, I guess, aren't they? But that's the kind of movie that I would kind of say it's most similar in feel to. It's just kind of like a fun horror movie with a semi-interesting idea about censorship in film. I think they are maybe trying to say something about censorship, but I don't think it comes across very well. I don't think it's like, I get it, but I don't think it's like hard hitting enough to be like, oh, censorship's bad. It's like, you get that impression from the movie.
It's the like, same way as like the message and the stuff gets across. Like,
yes.
Yeah, consumerism's bad.
I would have, that's a good point, actually. I'd say this is probably more closer to the stuff because the stuff was a little bit better made than Doom Asylum. So I'd probably put them in the same category. It's good. It's the effects are really good. The story is simple enough for it to be fun. It's not heavy. It's not anything like this. You know, it's not, it's just a decent horror comedy. It's not an amazing horror comedy.
Yeah, it's just bang on average.
But it's, like I said, it's fun as a love letter to horror, especially to the idea of, you know, like, horror movies are bad, they make you kill people. I suppose, like, my worst thing from it is that I quite like my characters, and there's not really any in this.
No.
Even Ed, he's just kind of like a caricature.
Yeah, I was just about to say the exact same thing. Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, that's me putting more fucking, you know, like, that's me being a reviewer there. It doesn't need it. It doesn't need a fucking message, or it doesn't need anything. It's just a fun horror movie.
Yeah.
I liked it. It was good.
Yep.
3.5, you know what I mean?
No, I think that's very fair. That's about what I'm going to give it as well.
Yeah.
I'd probably have given it a 3, but I'm going to bump it up a little bit because some of the effects they had were pretty decent.
I think I'd give it 0.5 star just because of the fucking general. The general's great.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I agree with you. It's probably a 3 out of 5 movie, but gets a few more points because some of the punchlines are really good. They are genuinely funny. Like some of the punchlines, some of them don't fall as well, but the ones that do,
especially
are good
some
enough.
Of the references, they're a bit.
Yeah, the Evil Dead references got annoying to me. There's not that many, to be honest with you, but there's enough that you go, I get it.
You can get away with like one.
But the you know the shot where it's going up the stairs.
Yeah,
that was cool.
Yeah,
I did like
that. Yeah, we didn't need the groovy.
The groovy, I didn't need.
Yeah.
Especially, like, it's not as if it was set up that well. It was just like, right, just throw
they could
in
maybe
it.
Get away with it if he said something else.
I feel like the Silence of the Lambs references were better than the Evil Dead references.
Yeah, they were
kind
more
of
subtle.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's a fun little movie. It's the kind of, like, you know, lazy day movie where you're like, oh, I'll just put, I don't want any message. I don't want to feel anything for this movie. It's just like, I just want to have some fun and watch a movie.
Right, that wraps up for this week. Next week
we've got nothing special planned.
No, nothing, just another average week here at Radio Nasties, you know, just a
little
film that nobody's really
it's heard. Only October season, yeah. Who cares?
Nothing,
who
cares? Not
I mean October
means nothing
to horror fans.
It's not a big deal, and yeah, so like I say, nothing too special. We're just gonna
all I'll say
every
is
every film in the Texas Chainsaw Massacre throughout October.
Yeah,
it's time for the Texas Chainsaw Marathon.
I'm looking forward to this one.
Yeah. Oh,
this
yes.
is probably my favourite horror franchise. So
8 films, 4 weeks, loads of blood, loads of sores, loads of guests coming up.
Yeah,
got a few
moving up in the world. We've got guests this time.
Yeah.
Fuck them.
Some of them are actual guests and not just people we know as well.
It doesn't mean I like them.
Yeah, kicking it off next week. We've got the OG Texas Chainsaw Massacre. And we're having some of the lads from Porcelain Peak joining us to discuss this little ditty. And yeah, we're pretty pumped.
We'll I'm pumped for Texas Chainsaw. I've been waiting for this one.
Yeah, it's going to be good. It's going to be a good month.
Yeah.
And we'll see you then for the Texas Chainsaw Marathon. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
I'm just another chunk of meat in Brain Town!